Speaking of football Sunday or Super Bowl Sunday, we have a video for you just to preview a little bit about what next week's going to be about. So,
hey everyone, this is Benjamin Watson, tied up in the Orleans Saints, and I can't wait to be with you for Global Football's biggest weekend. I invite you to bring your friends, your family, and your cohorts to church. You'll hear inspirational stories from the Mario Davis, Kirk Cousins, and Case King. I can't come over here to find a living for Jesus Christ. No, I need the world to know. I was concerned about football. I know it didn't come easy.
I want to see lives change for the kingdom, and I want as many people as possible to come to know the hope of the gospel.
You also need to know some.
All right, so next Sunday, some of you might be happy. There won't be a message from the pastor. There will be a message on video. So it's going to be cool. So come out and check it out. You'll get to see what the players really think about life in Jesus and family and marriage. Okay? So open your Bibles today to the book of Acts. And I got a lot of stuff up here, so I'm just going to be kind of moving around and doing some stuff. I want to just talk to you about something today. Hopefully you're ready for me to preach a little sermon.
Yeah.
Amen. I like that guy. That guy is an amazing brother in the Lord. We've been talking about the way we change, right? Changing the way we change. And last week, as I said, we said goodbye to that awesome friend, Colossians, the verse in Colossians we were using. And we're not going to use that today, but we are going to say goodbye to the entire series, the Happy New Year series, because it was just, again, talking about changing the way we change. The big idea was basically that, you know, some of us get caught up in not being as good as we hoped, or not being or struggling, I guess you could say, with some issues in our lives, and realizing that it's the same grace that gets us into the kingdom, that gets us a relationship with God. It's the same grace that pulls us through some of the sinful patterns in our lives, and so we don't get hung up on ourselves and realizing that, you know, maybe there is a little bit of growth that we could celebrate, right? Maybe, again, before we used to wrestle with these issues and behaviors, and now it's more about worrying about the attitudes of the heart. So we are maybe circling around the same issues, but at a higher altitude, because the Lord is growing us. And again, as Spurgeon said, dead men don't wrestle. So if you're wrestling with some stuff, that's good, because spiritually you're alive, right? And you're working on being, I guess you could say, a better Christian. But here's the thing. So changing the way we change. And then last week we talked about, if you can't do the good you would, do the good that you can. Right? If you can't do the good that you would, do the good that you can. And then ask this question. What can I do today that will enable me to do tomorrow what I can't do today? What can I do today that will enable me to do tomorrow what I can't do today, right? And so if you can't do the good you would, do the good that you can. So those are the things that we talked about. Today I just want to throw something out at you, because there's a lot of things that we think about in the beginning of the year. And I don't know if you realize this. Hey, you got 11 months left. That's it. And that'll go by fast. 1 month is gone. Okay? And again, if you feel like the years are going by faster and faster, it's because the closer you get to the drain, the faster you spin around. Alright? anyway. That's an encouraging message for you, right? Yeah, I like that one. Anyway, so don't forget, come out next week, Football Sunday, Super Sunday, whatever you want to call it, synonymous. But here's what we're going to talk about today, and that is changing directions. I want to talk to you about changing directions today. Instead of running from, to run to. And so, you might remember, as we studied a few times, and I think there's something working in my mind right now, too, just about what God wants to do just with this same story. But today, you know, if you look in the book of Exodus, you see the children of Israel coming out. You all know the story about how God drowned their enemies, the Egyptians, in the Red Sea, and that tremendous thing. But isn't it kind of interesting that when they're coming out, you know, they're really coming out, they're being chased by the chariots, and every time they look back, they hear the thunder, they hear the roar, and of course, maybe I need to change the mood, because it's really, really frightening. How many know when you're on foot and you hear the enemy's tanks coming, it pretty much is pretty scary, right? Can be put really a lot of fear in your mind, in your heart, and that happens to a lot of us. But what happens is we have to realize that God is taking us through a path, and when we get to the other side, we're going to be able to look back and realize that it was God who was getting us through, because not everything that came against you last year was the enemy. Maybe it was the Lord, and the thing that He used again to destroy, or excuse me, the thing that you thought was going to destroy you was the thing that God was actually using to destroy your enemies. And here's the thing though, as they are, and we'll talk about that more in future sermons, but the thing is, as they're coming out, they're hearing the roar, they look back then, but when they look to the front, what's going on is they're looking forward, and as they're moving forward, they're seeing miracles that are happening all along the way that God is doing in their life. And so what I want you to do is to change direction. Stop thinking about the enemy and looking back and seeing the fear, because what happens is your faith gets dependent on which way you look, right? And so I want you to look forward, because I want you to see the miracles. And I believe that God wants to do some miracles in this church. And here's a pretty crazy thing that a lot of churches, if you have 17% growth in your church in 1 year, that's really good. And I started doing the math, and you think about it here. How many think that by next year we could have 7 or 8 more people in here? I mean, come on. That's like, oh God, please give us 7 people. No, let's win 7 people to the Lord, right? And He'll take care of the rest. But I'm just saying, I think God can do some tremendous things when we stop and get our focus off of ourselves. Stop looking back at the enemy and get our faith focused on the future and what God wants to do. And so that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. And, you know, because for years I've done what a lot of you have done. And, you know, that's why I didn't want to start this year off the same way. But I followed the same pattern at the beginning of every year. Just, you know, make all kinds of promises to myself and to God. But here's something I want to give to you right now. Look, at the Bible says this in Ezekiel. Don't turn there, because I'm going to be done with it by the time you get there. But Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 29. It says, "The people of the land have practiced extortion and committed robbery. They have oppressed the poor and the needy and have extorted from the sojourner without justice. And I sought," this is the Lord speaking, "I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach or the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." God says, I'm just searching for one man or one woman who is concerned enough about what's going on in their land that they will stand in the gap for people and pray and say, God, please help us. God, don't destroy us. God, give us revival. God, bless us, Lord. Let your spirit come upon us. But He said, I didn't even find one person. And if you look, He's not looking for a movement. He's not looking for a bunch of different, you know, organizations. He's just looking for one man or one woman. That's it. That's what we need to start with, okay? And so as I look at this year, you know, I make myself and God all kinds of promises, and then I wait to see how long it takes me, you know, to disappoint myself and to disappoint God. And it can be kind of discouraging. And then I'm faced with my own weaknesses and reminded once again of my own inadequacies. And so that's why, again, we didn't start off this year that way. But I still love this time, because in spite of what happened last year, how many know all that, right? What happened with all that? How many got some all that last year, right? with all that, I don't have time. But the thing is, with all that stuff, hey, I made it here, and in spite of all that, guess what? I love because this year is a new year and a new beginning, and I'm excited about what God is going to do even today. And so it seems like, of course, the slate is wiped clean, and then we have this opportunity to start all over again. Like 2019 is a blank canvas. I love it, right? When you buy a new home and the builder is too cheap to put the backyard in for you, that's what they say. Oh, it's a blank canvas. Oh, nice. I just got to spend 10 grand to get something on it, right? but it's as if God, with the patience of a loving Father, is giving all of us another chance at our goals and aspirations, another chance at our hopes and our dreams, and just the things that didn't come true last year, and other chances at the promises that maybe we didn't keep, or the unfinished business that we left last year. But here's the thing, the most important thing is that we need to give another chance to renew our allegiance to the one who said, "Behold, I make all things new." Right? And so the first of each year, I feel like God, you know, He's fulfilling that promise to us and giving us a fresh start, and I'm determined to take advantage of that right now. And so I made this conscious decision to do what Paul says, not looking behind, but looking forward, leaving the sinful patterns of behaviors that are wrong, whatever, the broken relationships, the hurt feelings, the unforgiveness, all that stuff, just leaving that behind. And then I decided to embrace one of the promises that Jesus made. In John 14, Jesus said to His disciples that basically greater things you guys are going to do than I did. And that's extremely paraphrased, okay? So go back and look it up. But John chapter 14, verse 12. Greater things. And I don't know if you can imagine that, but the disciples must have felt kind of a little bit weird when He said that. I mean, this was the man that they believed was the Messiah, that they believed was God in the flesh, to turn water into wine at a wedding, stood on the bow of a ship and calm a violent storm. He cured away blindness and leprosy. He even raised the dead. And so they're probably thinking what you might be thinking, what could I do that would be greater than those things? But I believe that Jesus was talking about more than performing miracles, just physically, miracles He performed, okay? That wine, how many know that He made, was gone after the wedding. The storm that He silenced, but of course there would be more storms. Even the people that He raised from the dead, they eventually died again. And so the chief work that Jesus performed was spiritual miracles. The greatest miracle that Jesus performed was to transform people's lives. And make a way for people to spend eternity in heaven with Him. And so, here's the thing. You and I, maybe we can put a new suit on a man, but only Jesus Christ can put a new man in a suit. And so, I want to share this with us. I believe that it's what, He's talking about when He said that we would do greater things than He did. That He was saying that we would do what He did, but only to a greater number of people. Remember, all of His years in ministry, and then after the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people in one moment get saved. That's pretty good. He even tells us how we would be able to do those things by sending us the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit enabling us to live holy lives and to be a witness. And so that's more than maybe Jesus' entire 3 years of ministry in one moment. But Jesus is saying, you will be used by God to expand the work that I did, and you'll even do greater things. But it is the work of transforming lives. You're going to have an impact on people that will endure for all of eternity. That's the message that I think that we need to hear today. And so now that I'm all over the place here in my notes, let me focus on one thing. Swipe. Yeah. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. We're going to see this guy, and he's going to show us how to do it. Those who had been scattered, it said, preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And so there was great joy in that city. So at some point, here's the thing. Philip is up there and he is preaching a revival, if you will. But at some point, God, maybe I'm going to be a TV evangelist. God. At some point, Philip was called away from that city. And then it says, verse 26, go down to verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert place, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. See, God spoke to him, and it was an angel of the Lord. But how many know God doesn't need an angel to speak to you or I or me, okay? God doesn't have to give you a sign. You know, you don't have to see the picture of Jesus, the face of Jesus on a tortilla or something like some of our brothers in the Lord or whatever. But He does it by His Spirit. He can speak to you and He does it by His Word because He's given us the Scriptures. Sometimes you might see something supernatural happen. In that case, of course, God speaks in a specific way, but sometimes God speaks in more natural ways. I would say most of the time. Like we're going to see sometimes in the Scriptures, in the Bible, when somebody wanted to get baptized, they're like, gee, where are we going to baptize? And then someone says, hey, guess what? There's water right here. Let's do it here. Oh yeah, right? It's like really natural. Like, again, sometimes when we're new in the Lord, we tend to over-spiritualize things. We get saved and we want to pray about everything, and then we end up praying, well, what should I have for lunch, Lord? Should I have a sandwich? Let's pray about it, you know. I mean, and how many know if it's between McDonald's and In-N-Out, decision's easy, right? It's always In-N-Out, of course. But anyway, we might sometimes get caught up in that way, but God still speaks to us. That's what I'm trying to say, but if we listen, right? And we have to be careful even when we pray. I was just talking with our leadership today because we had a great time at the men's fellowship. And I would say some of the best moments came out of the silence when we were praying together. Because if as Christians, sometimes we're afraid of the silence. We have to go in order, and then everyone has to say their little thoughts, which is good, you know, the things that they come up in their mind, but we don't listen to the Lord. And then we get done and amen, and we're done because we're afraid of silence. But it's out of that silence that the Lord can speak to your heart, and He can say, hey, Jeff, I just wanted to say, this is not really happening, but I'm just saying, if the Lord wanted to say, hey, I know you're really struggling in this area, and God wanted me to tell you today, I really felt like, you know, maybe you should get confirmation from the Lord about this, but I really feel like He's saying that you need to just hold on, hang in there, and do what you're doing, because I'm with you, and I'm going to get you through. And you know what, if we just want to hurry up and pray, and, you know, put the amen on the end, and we're not listening to God, we can't hear from Him. We can't get a word of knowledge. The gift of the Spirit can't work if people aren't listening. And so, I want to encourage you to do that when you go out, ladies, on Thursday night and pray for one another. Don't be afraid of the silence. But what we want is to be in a place where God can speak to us. So verse 26, so now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south of the road, to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem. And another thing is interesting that Philip here, he doesn't say, well, why do you want me to go there, Lord? No, he doesn't even ask. He just goes. In verse 27, he started out. Now listen, some of you just need to take that first phrase. So he started out, right? Start. Remember, we talked about that last week. Do what you can. Just start. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. I will let you look that up and figure out what that is on your own. Okay? That's not this sermon. But an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means she's the queen of the Ethiopians, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And so he started out not knowing where he would end up, not knowing why he was even being sent, but what? He started. Okay? And so this is the great power of small beginnings. As I mentioned to you guys before, that as I look over the years of my life, anything that was worth anything in my life started out from something simple that I was already doing. Any kind of ministry that I did that I might have thought was insignificant led me to a relationship or a situation or a connection with someone, some else, or something that led to something greater, right? So that's what I want you guys to do. Just start. Everything important in my life stemmed from something that I was already doing, as insignificant as it sounded. But you gotta start. And so Philip started. Philip started out on his way, it says. See, because sometimes when you're in the way, God will do something in your life. God will open up doors, but He started out and on His way. It's amazing the things that will happen in your life between destinations. If you're aware and you're open to it, between jobs, between relationships, it's amazing the things that God will do along the way. So, verse 27, He started out and on His way He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, and she was a VIP. She was a very important person. You know what's funny? It's because I always thought, of course, when I was younger, I was going to be in the who's who. Like John, you know. I'll be in the... Don't laugh, Sean. I want to be in the who's who. And then earlier today, someone didn't get that joke because they were like, I don't get it. We know the who's who, like someone who's in the limelight, an actor or a politician, or maybe in the high school, you know, the important football people, whatever it was. I always wanted to be in the who's who, but now I realize I'm in the who's he, right? That's what happens when you put yourself first. But this lady, she was a very important person, and she was a powerful lady, Candace. And so, wow, you talk about powerful, this guy. This guy, though, was important not because of who he was, but because of who he was connected to. And it seems strange that God would take Philip from this revival that's really going well and then move him to some dirt road, right? But he does, and he goes. And so it was going well there, but God gives him instruction to see this one man on the road. God interrupted this guy's life. And by the way, some of you, maybe God isn't interrupting you anymore because you haven't done the last 10 things that He's asked you to do. And then you wonder, well, God, why don't I hear from you? Well, maybe God doesn't want to give you the next instruction because you haven't even done the first thing. Like, you know, you're not going to get the instructions to build the roof when you haven't even built the first wall yet. And so why is He going to instruct you beyond your level of involvement? Again, He started out, and on His way He met an Ethiopian. So this guy's going to Jerusalem to worship, and he starts out, and guess what? He pulls up to the stoplight at the same time as Philip, the guy that he's searching for, and he's searching for something. The guy that he's searching for is searching. And I want to say this, that if you go home and you pray to Lord, there it is. Sorry, I have the the microphone little box, and it sometimes the battery doesn't make the connection. We figured out, and it goes out. So if you see me smacking my leg, okay, all right. So moving on. So he pulls up to the stoplight at the same time as Philip, and he's searching for something. And when I say he, I mean both of them, right? Philip is searching for him, but he's searching for something. I believe that our lives are surrounded by people. You go home and pray, and God will show you somebody who is searching for Him. More than you think, God puts people like Philip in places, in your jobs, at your schools, your communities, your churches, whatever. I believe God puts people in the path of people who are searching. And so this man was a God-fearer. He was not a believer. He was not a Jew, but he was getting there. And maybe on investigation, it touched him personally. I don't know, but look at verse 28. And on his way home, was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. So this guy's sitting in his Escalade, right? And this other guy is looking for him. And on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Would you go? Are you sure? Let's see. I don't know. Because sometimes God just asks us to invite someone to church and we can't do it. But verse 30 says, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? I love this because Philip is kind of eager, right? So, and how many know that here, if you do that here in Pomona on Gary and Holt or anywhere around here, it's a good way to get shot. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe not shot. But I mean, if you run up to someone's Escalade, right? And you're like, like, how many know if you did that, first of all, half of these people don't even know what this means, right? It's got to be like, roll down your window, dude. Like, that's a way to get in trouble, right? You knock. But this man asks the question, do you know what you're reading? I think that's really funny. Ask a question. I think a lot of people are asking that question. Do you know what you're reading? How can I? Look what he says, verse 31. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. How can I unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And I want to say this. You probably don't even realize how many lives have been changed because of a simple invitation like that from one person to another person. Hey, why don't you come and sit with me? Let's have coffee. Well, I'm not a church person. Hey, don't worry about it. You know, I took somebody to lunch the other day, and after we finished eating, he said, wow, this wasn't anything like I thought it was going to be. And I'm thinking, what did he think? Like I was going to break out some kind of envelope with money donations on there. I was going to ask him for money for the church or something. I have no idea what he thought. But I mean, I just took him out. We had a Coke, talked about life, and hey, good to get to know you a little bit better. But it's kind of funny when people think that, you know. I get the same thing. I show up and I pull into the clergy parking at the hospitals. Sometimes people look at me weird, and a few times I've actually had people say things to me like, that's for pastors, that's for clergy, and I have to show them my clergy card. Yeah, sorry my Vans or whatever fooled you, but I am a pastor, okay? I know they expected me to be in a Caprice Classic Cutlass or an Oldsmobile or something like that, but instead I was driving a small car. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever people's perception is. But you know what? Sometimes it's just, hey, sit with me. And I worry about the church because we started out with people who were willing to go when God asks by faith. But guess what? Today, some of us can't even ask or invite someone to church. And you know what? I remember the old days, I guess, well, for me, whatever, and back in the 80s when I used to just tell my friends, hey, man, you got to come to church with me. It's going to be so awesome. I'll pick you up at 9:30. And they'd say, no, I can't go, man. I don't want to go. Okay, I'll be there at 9:30. So I just pull up in their driveway at 9:30. And then sometimes I could convince them to go with me anyway, and sometimes I would go by myself. But you know what? You just try, because there are people that I know that are still in ministry today, still serving the Lord. People that I, you know, took with me to church. And anyway, we'll see what happens. But God can do miracles if you start. You know, just. So he started, right? So we got to start. And sometimes you need to see someone at your level. So, you know, because your parents can lead you, but guess what? They can deposit that faith in you, but it has to be your own experience. You can have relatives that are believers, a great grandmother that, you know, that served the Lord forever, that every time you see you, she's got an encouraging word for you. But guess what? That's not enough. There are no grandchildren in heaven. We're all his children or we're not. Like they say, you're either a saint or you ain't, okay? And that's just the way. Now, I'll pick up where I left off. But let's see. Sometimes you need to see someone at your level, and that's why it's good. There's something powerful about people knowing that you care, right? There's something powerful about what happens when you say, hey, man, I just want to pray for you. I just want to, you know, and those are the people that at sometimes in the office, they will make fun of you, but when something they're going through finally gets their heart, then guess what? You're the first person that they're going to look for. And so I want to offer a partnership with you guys. If you guys bring somebody, I'll share the gospel with them. You get them in here, I'll share the gospel with them. All you have to do is get them here. And how many know there's a huge need in our communities? And not even here, because look at this is not happening in the church. This is out there somewhere. This isn't the pastor going around getting people in the church, or I hate to say it that way because it looks like we're trying to get something from people. But what I mean is, you know, it's the church naturally. It's organically happening that people love. I mean, you know, when you the last time you went to a restaurant you really loved, how many people did you tell about it? How many people did you tell about Jesus? Right? Okay. So people who are into God's mission, see, who aren't running from the enemy, but instead they're running to the mission. People who go when God asks, teachers, greeters, hospitality, administration, whatever it is that the Lord needs. See, because here's the thing, this guy was in charge of Candace's treasury. All the money for the Ethiopians, pretty powerful dude, but guess what? He had a really greater responsibility, and that was now that he had the message of the kingdom, he's going to take that back to Ethiopia. There couldn't be a more greater privilege than that, but there also couldn't have been a simpler strategy, right? All we need to do is keep seeking God, and guess what? We'll see miracles happen. It's a church of people who are willing to run to something instead of running from something. Are we running with God or are we complacent? Because I want to run with God. And there's so many places God wants to send us. And so maybe today is the day that some of us are going to go from running from to running to. And again, it wasn't in a church service or setting that this happened. It was on his way home. It was out in the community with the relationships that you've been given, and that's where we make a difference. I wonder what would happen if everybody in here just chased one person this week. Pick someone that the Lord has on your heart. I know Serena was sharing, of course, we didn't plan this, but earlier this morning I heard her sharing about how there's someone at her work that she wants to share the gospel with because that person said, well, I'm a good person, so I know that, you know, I'll be in heaven or whatever. But how many know good people don't go to heaven? If there are any good people. There's only forgiven people. Because according to the scriptures. But here's the thing. There are people all around us that need to hear the good news of the gospel. About Jesus Christ. And so that's powerful. Look at verse 35. More people to reach. Then it says, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture. Listen, Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So here's the thing. Philip began with that. Right where that guy was, that's where Philip started. See? That's where we have to start with people. Right where people are. We can't expect them to be where we are in maturity in Christ. We have to start where they are. You don't have to clean up your life to come to Christ. You surrender your life to Him, and then it'll be His power that will give you the graces you need to clean up your life. So that's for the alcoholic, because you don't have to be cleaned up to come here. For the first person who was up late night, you know, last night till 1:30 in the morning looking at pornography or whatever, you don't necessarily have to get cleaned up to come to Him. You come to Him, you ask for forgiveness, you surrender your life to Him, and it'll be His power that changes your life. Because Philip started with the passage where that guy was, and I think that's what God wants us to do, to start where people are and give them the good news about Jesus. And when we start telling them the good news about Jesus, guess what? The good news of Christ changes everything. Look at verse 36. As they traveled along the road, They came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" "Can I get baptized?" he said, basically is what happened. And they didn't say, "Well, we have to take you through a few classes first. We're going to check your background references. We're going to make your prove that you are a real Christian." Because you know there's a lot of fake Christians out there. And that might be true, actually. But he asked the question, "What can stand in the way?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he gave orders to stop the chariot. But both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. I love that. And if you don't have verse 37, then it's a shame. You should have at least a margin where it's in there. But listen, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And what do you have to believe? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The gospel changes things, people. Remember in the Old Testament, the Egyptians coming out, the only water that they saw. But when they went down in the water, they got drowned. But in the New Testament, this is what's so cool about it. They went down in the water with a man, and he came up changed, made new, completely forgiven. See, that's what we got to do for the world. We get to go down into the water with them and tell people, "Hey guys, there's a hope, there's a stream, there's a river, there's peace, there's joy, and we need to just say, hey, come on and let me sit with you. Let me sit with you in this water." And look at verse 38 again and 39. "And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away." That's interesting. I'd like to ask when I get to heaven what that's all about. "The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing." See, it didn't matter because the man didn't see Philip anymore, because the man already met Jesus. He needed the presence of God. He needed to meet Jesus, not Philip. And sometimes in our lives we make it all about us. But the eunuch carried his conversation all the way back to another country. And see, this is not a time for churchgoers, people. Especially in this time right now, we're so divided. Everyone's talking about, the country is going to, I guess it's a biblical word. So the country is going to hell in a handbasket. Oh, we're so fearful, but guess what? This is nothing new. Persecution, political oppression, all that stuff's been around since the church began. And yet we're all freaked out about it. But God's not freaked out about it. But it's not time to be afraid and run from the enemy or cower in fear. It's time to run to the world carrying. How can we reach a world that we're running from? What can change this week? I think there are people that are asking you to sit with them, but maybe you're too busy running away from stuff so you can't even see it. What can change this week? I know that, you know, you've been having a hard time. I see that, you know, you and your wife are, you know, struggling in your marriage. Come and sit with me. I know that you're struggling with this issue. Hey, come sit with me. I know that, you know, you think church is superstitious. I don't like it either sometimes, but hey, come. No, just kidding. But you know what? Come and sit with me and miracles will happen when we're not running and looking back to the chariots, but we're looking forward, moving forward. How many of us have experienced a miracle in the presence of God lately? How many of us, it's been a long time and we want God to speak? We got to be desperate for His presence in our life, for His presence in our church, the life of our church. And think about that. The message that he had, the experience that this guy had, was it meant to stay with him? Was the gospel message meant to stay with you, or was it meant to get back in the chariot and go back to your country to change the world? And so that's what it needs to be. You know, the roar of the enemy is coming. Oh, but guess what? Here comes the church. Well, here comes fear. But guess what? Here comes faith. There's the darkness. Yeah, but here comes the light. Right? I hear the sound of angels, revival, all this stuff. And I don't know about you, but I want to experience the miracles of God. I want to see God move in an incredible way. And I know that He can do it, most of us. So, as I was saying earlier today, God needs to change us so we can do the same or greater miracles than He did. But He would say that the first lives that need to be changed and transformed are ours. We need a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. We need hearts that are filled with more gratitude than ever before, a love for those who love Christ. But more important than that, a love for those who Jesus loves. A life that resembles a life of Christ more than last year, right? A willingness to go where He says to go, to do what He says to do, to say whatever He says, to be what He says to be. And once that commitment is made, then He'll give us permission to pursue those other things that we want to do, to attempt the things that we never had the courage to do before. To attempt the things that we never had the ability to do before, all because the same Holy Spirit that empowered the disciples can also empower us to achieve great things this year. So, you know, some people think that when they become a real surrendered Christian that, you know, they have to hibernate in the church and be cut off from the world. But you begin to settle in for a lifetime of boredom and misery if you do that. You're never going to see God do miracles. Where Jesus is saying just the opposite here. He's saying you can play a role in the greatest enterprise of all time. You can be a part of the real adventure in life. And that is knowing Him and building His kingdom. Helping other people come to know Him and grow. But you have to be willing to play a part. You got to be willing to do something. You got to desire to have a dream. You know, this is a really cool story. In London, you could have found a man that for 18 years, just think about it, 18 years, he stood at the foot of some stairs in the House of Commons, okay? From 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., 5 days a week, for 18 years. One day someone decided to check this guy's job description, and they found out that this man, that this job had been in his family for 3 generations. Now he's been there already 18 years. But for 3 generations, it began with his grandfather who passed the job on to his father, who eventually passed it on to him. And the records show that the grandfather was positioned at the foot of the stairs to warn people that the stairs had been freshly painted. And you can imagine the outrage at the British government for paying 3 generations of men for a job that could have been handled by one day's wage or a wet paint sign. But even more fascinating than the humor of this British bureaucracy is the guy standing at those stairs. Think about it. No ambition, no vision, no dream to do something significant with his own life. He's just content to stand by and put in his time. And how many of us as Christians are just putting in our time? How many of us, you know, spend our entire lives year after year just standing at the foot of a staircase that leads to nowhere? Pouring energies into things that don't really even matter, building elaborate sandcastles to our lives that just wash away, destined to dissolve because we're putting in our time like this guy. Never even looking for the secret place of the Most High, the Bible talks about. We all have the potential to just waste this year. Again, 1 month is gone. You have 11 months left. And then you have this other contrasting story, not from England, but from India. A woman came to her church leaders with 3 pennies and a dream from God to build an orphanage, and the church leaders told her, with 3 pennies, you can do nothing. And she said, I know that with 3 pennies, I can't do much, but with 3 pennies and a dream from God, I can do anything. And so Mother Teresa knew that God would equip her, that God would enable her, and God would empower her. When God wants to do something important, see, He doesn't dispatch a host of angels or a mass of a huge crowd. He's looking, as I said, for one person. One person. He plants an idea and a willing heart, and then he waits. And the question that I want to ask this morning is he waiting on you? Is he waiting on you? Are the changes that you want to make in your life, are they changes that are going to further the kingdom? Are there dreams that you've never fulfilled today? Are there things that you failed at, you know, in the past that you're afraid to attempt in the future because you feel too weak and too weary? And if that's you, I've got news. The prophet Isaiah ran across, and as I said before, there's a lot of people throughout the Bible that have felt the way you feel. But as you begin and reflect again on this year, put your hope in Jesus Christ. Some here today need to do that again for the first time. Some of us need to recommit our lives and just say, yeah, Lord, I'm going to get back in the game. But if you're weary, He'll strengthen you. If you're weak, He'll give you the power you need. And when the failures of your past try to come and convince you that you're destined to fail in the future, guess what? The Bible says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, says the Lord. I know how weak we all feel when we talk about things that we've done or haven't gotten done, but so did every great person in the Bible. Look at it. I mean, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham, blunders. Moses, blunders. Jacob, his name means trickster, right? Samson. You could build a case that the guy ended his life. David, murderer. Moses, murderer. Abraham, basically threw his wife under the bus twice. Okay? Their weaknesses, though, were turned into strength. And that's why the Bible says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we even ask or can imagine, according to that power that's working in us. So I want everybody here today to begin this year just fully persuaded that God is offering you the power that you need for His kingdom this year. To resist temptation, because the Bible says God's faithful will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Because He suffered, He knows what it's like, but He's offering you the power to live a transformed life, the ability to make changes that we've wanted to make for a long time, the power to stop behaving with attitudes that we shouldn't have, the power to start behaviors and attitudes that we should have. And guys, there's a lot of people all around us that need to hear about this incredible God that we serve, that we all take for granted and we're complacent about. We can all do more. More than just put in your time. And God is offering every person here today the power to have that relationship with Him. To have a breakthrough in your life today. A day of change, a day that marks a new beginning. So let's all bow our heads, because just in case, I don't want to miss anyone today. Nobody else is going to be looking around. Just me. And I want to ask you this question. If not today, then when? If not this year, then when? So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, no one's looking around, I just want to give you an opportunity. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ in your own heart right now and know that you can be with Him, you'll go to heaven, you'll be with God for eternity when you pass from this life, but not only that, you'll be able to be with Him today the rest of your life. If you'd like to make that commitment today, then you can just put your hand up. There's nobody looking around. If you're here today and you knew about the Lord and you're challenged today to say, you know what, I got to get back in the game. What better week than Super Bowl? Lord, I need to get back in the game, your game. So if you're a Christian today, or you knew about Jesus, but you've been walking away, but now you need to come back, you can just raise your hand right now too, because I want to pray for you. Amen. That's awesome. Well, Lord, I just want to come to you and thank you for those people, Lord. And pray that you would bless them, Lord God, that as we come back to you today, we can expect a challenge in our heart. We're not going to live the same old selfish, boring life that we've been living, Lord, unfulfilled. But Lord, we want an exciting life that's filled with you and your miracles in our own life. We want to experience your presence and your Holy Spirit. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit. Help us, God. Give us as a church, Lord, more than 17%, Lord. Give us as many as you see fit. Father, you're powerful. Help us to realize how real you are. Help us to feel it in our lives on a daily basis. We want to experience you, God. And we ask this all in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. 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 God is good. Okay, so let's have the ushers come forward to receive the Lord's tithes and our offerings. And you can reach into the pocket of the person next to you and give as much as you think they should. Unless the person next to you is your wife and she will smack that hand. Just kidding. Well, Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace. And again, may you use these resources to further your kingdom. And may your people, as your word says, be cheerful and hilarious givers. In your name again, amen, amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen. How many are grateful for God showing up today? Amen. Let's give Him a round of applause. He is a who's who. He's the great I am. And if you want to join me and be a who's he, that's easy. All right, well, may the Lord bless you and keep you guys. Give somebody a hug on the way out. Amen. God bless. See you next. Don't forget to bring somebody. Football Sunday.